Saturday afternoon. Coming up this Saturday is the big events for the Festival of Flowers, and one of those events is the much-anticipated Bluegrass Concert, and this year they're featuring Blue Highway along with Country Claire Band. And here today, my special guest, the one and only Trey Ward. How you doing today, Trey Ward?
Pretty good, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. So, what did you pick these two bands? How come? What makes them special here, Trey Ward?
Well, they both kind of have a South Carolina connection, and South Carolina is always something I'm trying to promote wherever
sure.
I go. But Blue Highway has been around for a long time, and you know, I grew up playing bluegrass and was very much into the Flat and Scruggs, Bill Monroe thing when I was a kid, you know, playing vinyl records. And for a while, I drifted away from it. And when I was like maybe later in high school and in college, and I played blues and country music and some other things. But after I got out of school and kind of grew up and got married, I came back to bluegrass. And when I came back to bluegrass, Blue Highway was a new group. It was just really starting to bud out. And Sean Lane, who is originally from Virginia, now lives in Walhalla.
Oh, okay.
Lives in a little cabin up there in Walhalla with his beautiful wife, Gay. And they are, and I think his wife is a lifelong South Carolina member of this state here. But
she's homegrown.
Yeah,
homegrown.
So,
okay, there we go.
Blue Highway has a great connection to Sean Lane, and when we get him on the air, I mean, Sean Lane's had a long, long history in bluegrass. I mean, he worked for Ricky Skaggs. He worked back when Ricky Skaggs was in country music. He worked for Doyle Lawson, and I don't know if he worked in any other groups or not, but he made his rounds before he joined this group. And then Shannon Slaughter. Is one of those guys that has been in everybody's band. You know, his first solo project was called Sideman Steps Out, where he'd been, you know, the sideman for a while. He'd been in the Lonesome River Band, and he had also did a stint with Lou Reed and Carolina, which are both are, you know, big names in the bluegrass world. So, and Shannon, I don't really know how, but guy that plays with me, Jeremy McCullum, plays in my band. We have this little private thing up in the mountains, in a place called Rocky Bottom, which is up above around Table Rock.
Okay.
And we get together there every year, and Shannon and his wife have been coming to that for years. And you know, most people that play bluegrass in South Carolina that are into bluegrass in a real big way get invited to this thing. It's kind of a private event, but.
And the name of it's Shaggy Bottom?
No, Rocky Bottom.
Oh, Rocky Bottom. I was trying to figure that one out, Trey.
No, it's called Rocky Bottom.
Rocky Bottom, okay. Helping you out here this afternoon, Trey.
But that's going to make me turn red, probably. But
I wondered what the connection was between you going back to bluegrass music and getting married. I was curious. How those two go together, Trey?
Maybe so. But anyway, those Blue Highway is one of the, you know, biggest names in bluegrass. They've been around a long time. Maybe you'd call it a third generation band.
Mm-hmm.
They do a little bit of, I guess, traditional stuff, but they also are I guess, contemporary. And they have a great following, and I've been wanting to book them on this event for years, but we never have been able to get them available
for a date
until now. So I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, bluegrass music is one of those musics that a lot of people haven't been exposed to, you know, and it's such a great venue for people that haven't to come down and see what bluegrass music is all about.
That's right, and I often, I've said this a lot of times, I know I've probably said it on your radio program before, but bluegrass is like a primary color. I mean, bluegrass, gospel, blues, jazz, those are just core parts of music, and any kind of music that's on the radio dial now, you can probably find influence of, you know, one of those four things. You know, and it's just like the primary colors. You know, you can't have any other colors without them. So
spoken like the true words of a painter.
That I am.
Yes, exactly. So they're coming now. How many people do they have in Blue Highway, and what instruments do they play?
Well, let's see. Blue Highway has And I'm not sure exactly who's playing banjo with them right now, but they have a banjo player, a bass player, and Tim Stafford plays guitar with them. And he was maybe not in the original configuration of Allison Krauss and Union Station, but he was a member of Allison Krauss and Union Station when she put out some of her Benchmark records. He was with her, and he's a great songwriter and a great guitar player. Actually, he wrote a, or maybe co-authored a book on Tony Rice, who was, you know, a bluegrass icon.
Sure.
And we've had
and
him.
He's been here.
We've
right.
had him here too. And so, but anyway, where was it? They banjo, mandolin, bass, and
you play the mandolin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, you know, like the connection with Sean is, I have a soft spot for mandolin players, so I've always. I've had just about all of the big ones here now, except for maybe Sam Bush, so I'm going to eventually get around to him. But anyway, they also, Rob Ikes is a dobro player, and he's a actually he's probably a very hot session player. You see him on a lot of records, not just bluegrass records. You see him on a lot of country recordings nowadays. So they're a great band, and I can't wait to have them here.
Have them here, and that'll be Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Now, that's an hour later, isn't it?
No, we've always kind of started at 7. We will have something that was kind of an afterthought on this show. We've always had a bigger lineup than this, or not necessarily in terms of bands,
number,
but we've
number
had
a
number
of
bands.
Right.
And you know, the economy's been bad, and our budget was basically cut in half to put this on. But it's a free show. It's a free concert. Anybody can come. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair.
Bring the kids.
Yeah, it's family entertainment. It'll be plenty of places to sit. You know, if you want to sit close to the stage, get there early. But we pull in the big stage, and Andy Sikora, who owns Custom Audio, which is actually a very big sound and light company, does.
They travel all over the nation.
All over the world, yeah.
Yeah.
Do huge shows. But they're top notch. They do Merle Fest. And Andy lives here in Greenwood. And I remember the first year we ever did this, we hired some other sound company. And Andy, you know, I said, Andy, we just can't afford you. And he said, well, you know, this is my hometown, and we're gonna do that show next year, no matter what. So, and he really has. I mean, he pulls in this the hydraulic stage and the lights and the sound equipment, you know, and an 18-wheeler, and they really. Do a show for us for probably a third of what they would charge anybody else, but you know, send word out to Andy for, you know, thanks for being the hometown guy.
Absolutely. I think people don't realize what it actually takes to pull a show like this together. I mean, you're just talking about the stage and all the sound systems and everything to get it to sound right. It's really a huge undertaking.
It is. I mean, in years past, you know, we've spent $20,000 putting this show on. And as I was telling you earlier, most of that money is not advertising. It's actual hard dollars at play, or actually hard cost. And we advertise by good people like you letting us be on the radio and putting up posters, which is kind of an old-fashioned way. And in some way, you might could say that bluegrass is a cultish, has a cultish following.
Sure.
And people that... are real hardcore bluegrass fans may not necessarily listen to adult contemporary radio, and you know, and hear an advertisement on there, or they might not necessarily read Southern Living,
right?
But they might read Bluegrass Unlimited, and they might go to a barbecue shack that plays where they play bluegrass, and they'll
sure.
see a poster.
Yeah, and you know, there really are a lot of little places all around South Carolina that play the bluegrass music, that have sessions and this type of thing.
There are pockets of it. Most of it is in higher elevations than here. You know, I've always said that Greenwood's the bluegrass wasteland, and I've always really just been really committed to trying to force bluegrass down people's throats here.
How's it working, Trey?
Well, I'm making some converts.
You are.
I'm making some converts, but, you know, they're not... You know, there are not many people here that teach banjo lessons, or so. I mean, you just Greenwood's not a place where people grow up playing bluegrass. But you can go just a little bit north of here to Anderson or Pickens or Oconee. You go to Oconee County or Pickens County, and it's everywhere. As a matter of fact, when we put this show together, we didn't have any more money to hire a third band, but the Pickens County School District has a has a high school bluegrass band. It's actually a program in their school district to where they teach. It's called YAMS, Young American Musicians, and or might be might be Young Appalachian Musicians. I'm not sure, but it's called YAMS, and they have a high school bluegrass band there, and they're going to play. They're going to be the opening act, and they're going to play. And
what time will they start?
They'll start at 6:30. They're going to do 30 minutes first, and then we'll have Shannon Slaughter and Blue Highways the headliner. But I think it's great that they have a bluegrass music program in their school district. That just goes to show you how much bluegrass there is in Pickens County as compared to Greenwood County. Because, I mean, you know, I think we might have one little strings class in one of the magnet schools over at Brewer that my kids went through, but it's a far cry from what they do in Pickens.
Absolutely. Well, you know, with a name like Pickens, you know, you gotta have bluegrass,
you
right?
Pick, yeah. That's right.
Well, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. I do believe we are going to have Sean Lane calling in with Blue Highway here in just a minute.
Right. I hope so.
And I tell you what, should we play a little of his music as we see when he's coming in?
Yeah, we can.
How about that? What's the song that you wanted to play off that track, that number one track off of Blue Highway?
There's two on there. I think there's one, Blue Ridge Mountain Girl, which has always been one of my very, very favorite.
I think he's on the line with us. I think he is here. So how about we do some talking, and then we'll do some picking. How about that?
Okay.
Right here
That'll
in Greenwood, South Carolina.
That'll be you.
All right. Well, we have Sean Lane on the line with us. Sean, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, there you go. Hey, Trey is here, too, and we're going to be talking about you coming to town on Saturday evening. Really looking forward to it. Trey's been doing a good wind-up job on telling what a great bluegrass band y'all have.
Good deal. We're looking forward to being there. Looking forward to it a long time. We've heard about your festival for years now, and I hadn't got a chance to go. My wife has, and she says it's great, so...
Yeah, I've seen her there a lot of years. I've seen your wife there a lot of times without you because you were picking somewhere else.
I wanted
to ask you, Sean, just to kind of give us a run, maybe to kind of recite your resume a little bit, because you've worked for a lot of people in bluegrass, the names that other people will recognize, the listeners will recognize, and I just wanted to ask you to kind of run down your career a little bit until you got to Blue Highway.
Oh, well, I'll try. In 1990, I had been graduated school for a year, and I somehow or another got Doyle Lawson's number. I don't know how a 20-year-old boy does that, but I did somehow, and I called him up, and he was only four-piece at the time, and I asked him if he wanted to add a fifth piece. I knew he'd had fiddle in the past, and he said, sure, come on up and try out on the fiddle, so... I went and got that job and stayed with him for about 2 years, and then left there and went to got a job with Ricky Skaggs, Kentucky Thunder, and played mostly guitar and mandolin in that band. It was mostly country then, and then we started doing some bluegrass sets later on in my time with him. And I was with him about a year, and then we formed this band a year after I left him. I left him to go back to school and finish my degree and kind of take a break from the road because I was kind of getting burned out at that time. And we've been together now for around 19 years with this band. And
That's pretty...
Pretty remarkable.
You're pretty remarkable with band politics to be able to stay together that long.
Yeah, it's shelf life of bluegrass bands usually about like a banana, so we...
I was telling Ann earlier before you came on the air, I grew up, you know, listening and playing Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs, and when I got out of high school, you know, I wanted to experiment, and I, you know, played some country music, played in blues bands, and bought some electric guitars and that kind of thing, and after I kind of got married and settled down, when I, you know, started, you know, saying, hey, I want to go to Cousin's store and jam again or something, you know. So one of the first records I think I bought was a Blue Highway record, and y'all were the hot contemporary bluegrass band at the time, you know. So that was when I kind of left the music and came back to it. You guys were just starting to break, and I'm trying to remember that first project y'all put out. I think was that the one that had Blue Ridge Mountain Girl on it, and
It is, yeah. Long, Long Road was the title of the record, but yeah, that was the first one we did. And no, that's cool, man. I'm glad you was able to get something out of that.
I'm trying to remember what year it came out, but I can't remember.
I can't either. 94 or 5, 95 maybe, I'm not sure.
And was Wind to the West right after that? Or
Let's see, yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, and it seemed like I remember. Did you write that song?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It seemed like I remember you telling somebody once that that was inspired in a deer stand, maybe.
Yeah. I wrote that. I used to do that all the time back when I hunted a lot. I don't hunt much out of a tree stand anymore, but when I did, I used to take little notepads and write from up there. And it's pretty cool.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good story. I've done that myself. I was going to ask you to also just kind of, if you would, just real quick, run down the band and maybe I know some of the guys like Tim Stafford and Rob Ikes have great resumes also, but maybe you might say a little something about each one of them.
Yeah, well, Rob Ikes plays Dilbro, and he's the 14-time I think IBMA Dilbro Player of the Year, and. And I might be wrong. He might be a lot more years than that. But I'm thinking that's the last count I had. And he plays Dilbro, and he's played on lots of records, and plays lots of sessions for people. And I have Tim Stafford on the guitar, and he started best known with Allison Krauss and Union Station. He played with them for a good while, and then we have Wayne Taylor on the bass. And Jason Burleson on banjo and mandolin, and we switch off back and forth, and he plays some guitar, and we just do some different stuff, which is what we like about the band. We're not locked into one way of doing things musically, you know.
Well, that's really good. I know you kind of I've had all my favorite mandolin players to Greenwood now, except maybe Sam Bush, you know. I'll get to him eventually.
Yeah, he's my favorite too.
Oh, well, good. Well, we're having a thunderstorm here. I don't know if you can hear it. Are you in Walhalla? Are you in Walhalla this afternoon?
I hear you fine. Yes, sir. I am. I'm at home. And
very good. Anne, were you going to say something?
No, I was just. I think it's terrific that you're able to come here. You do you travel all over the United States, or you go overseas at all?
Yeah, we're all over the world. We hadn't been out of the country yet this year, but last year we were in Germany, the Czech Republic, Canada, and we've been Japan, Switzerland. I don't know, just
so. What's the response to the music overseas?
Well, they love it. They absolutely just go nuts over bluegrass. It's wonderful to go over there and play for them. A long way to commute to work, but it's fun when you get there.
I understand when you're having a concert over there. I know a lot of blues artists that go overseas, and it's totally different. Whereas here in the United States, people will be talking and listening to the music. There, I understand they actually sit and watch the concert. Is that the same with bluegrass?
Do. It is. They're real attentive and really interested in what you're doing, what you're trying to do, the lyrics. They come up afterwards and ask, you know, what the lyrics are, and they're just totally into it 100%. And makes it nice for the artist when you have that happen.
Well, Sean, before this thunderstorm knocks us off the air or anything here, why don't you tell us about your latest CD release?
Yeah, we got one. Got a record done, and it's being mixed right now, and should be out early fall, late summer, somewhere in there. And the title of it will be "The Game," which is a song Barry Bales, who plays bass for Allison Krauss, and myself wrote.
Right.
And then it's all original songs except for one, a traditional. We went back and got and did kind of an ancient sounding gospel verse arrangement on it. So all the rest of them are original, written from the guys, or co-written within the band. And which is another thing that we kind of try to do because it's what we, you know, we enjoy writing. You being a writer yourself, you know how much fun it is to, you know, come up with an idea, create a song that hasn't been done before it, and then have it, put it into a machine and make it a performance. It's just, there's nothing any more fun than that. So that's what we try to do. And,
I agree with you, except for when you take it to Nashville, that's when the bad part comes.
Yeah.
You'd have to a good hide for rejection, right, Trey?
Yeah, but
had plenty of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Sean actually is one reason that I wanted him to come on the air today, because he's a stellar songwriter, and I don't know how many cuts you've had over your lifetime, but if you have any idea, tell us.
Oh gosh, I guess I've had, not counting Blue Highway stuff, I've probably had 35 or 40.
Well, that's a lot.
But, you know, other than this band,
and some of your cuts, the last time we talked, are people like Dr. Ralph Stanley.
Yeah, I've got, gotten a couple of Ralph cuts already. I got one coming up on Ralph Stanley second and senior are doing a project, first ever project together, and I've got two songs that I co-wrote on there, and this up and coming one should be out any time now. It's been done for a while, and so that's an honor. That's as big an honor as you can.
Oh yeah,
have,
I'd pay him if he would record my
probably what I'll wind up doing.
No, I don't think you will.
Well, we sure are looking forward to you coming down here on Saturday evening to the Bluegrass Concert, and I guess you'll be bringing the whole band and come have a good time, and we'll look forward, and hopefully I'll get to meet you. We wanted to play one of his songs. What song did we want to play as we go towards the news?
I think they had Blue Ridge Mountain Girl queued up.
Blue Ridge Mountain Girl. Was that number one or number two, or do you know?
I think it was the first one. On
the first one. Well, I tell you what, Sean, thanks so much for calling us. I think we're going to hang up. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here with the thunder out there, but we look forward to seeing you Saturday night.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Ann.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Andy, let's hit it. All the gold.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Great. We're back here, Sharp Passes Gallery. Yes, there is a pretty bad thunderstorm out there. So just for the record, it says this storm is going to impact Cokesbury, Greenwood, 96, Cross Hill. Small hail and wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour are expected with this storm. Trey just made a phenomenal statement. It's less than 60 miles per hour. You go, Trey. Looks like maybe it's already passing by. It looks like we got some wind right around here, Sharp Facets. But a few minutes ago, there was hail out here. So let's hope it passes on through. I do understand there are some more that may be coming. So hunker down and find a good location. And Trey, I do believe we have our next guest on the line with us. So we have Shannon on the phone with us.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm good, Shannon. How are you? I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS. You're coming to town on Saturday for the big bluegrass concert. So
yes.
Trey's right here.
Yes,
Trey, what do you got to say to Shannon?
How's football practice go today?
Hey, Trey. we have workouts, of course, this morning until about 11:30. We got some young kids that they're not fully understanding, I don't think, what it takes to be a high school football player yet in the state of Alabama. So,
well, you're going to teach them, aren't you?
Do what?
So you're going to teach them, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We'll get them straight. We still got a couple of months between now and the season starting. But we got some young kids, got a lot to learn. We got some veterans that are back that are going to be great leaders for us. And we're hopeful for a good year.
Well, that's good. For those who do not know, Shannon is a stellar songwriter, musician in the bluegrass world, and he's got a long resume working with a lot of other people, and he coaches high school football in his spare time.
Does he play his bluegrass out on the football field? That's what I want to know.
Occasionally I'll bring my guitar to class, and you can mix it in. The great thing about U.S. history is, I mean, there's a whole lot of music involved in U.S. history. So we get a chance to play every now and then for the class, and I think it all goes. All works real well together. I think being a good teacher, you ought to be able to be a good coach. And, being a performer on stage is a whole lot like performing in the classroom. You've got an audience, and you've got to keep their attention, and you've got to establish a good rapport with them, just like you have to have in the classroom, just like you have to have on the football field with your players.
Well, Shannon, if you don't mind, and we'd asked Sean Lane to do the same thing. He was just on a few minutes ago. If you would just kind of run down your resume. I know you've worked for a lot of great people in bluegrass, and I know your last record.
Interestingly enough, I got my start playing really in the early 1990s. I had a guy from down in Florida, Branford, Florida, named Bowie Beach, who's a really good friend of mine that kind of took me under his wing and showed me some hot licks on the guitar, I guess. And I had always sang and played a little bit of rhythm, not much, and never really thought about doing it, other than just local fairs and stuff like that. And then I caught that bluegrass bug pretty hard, and I knew I wanted to play. I just didn't know if I had the ability to. And he helped me learn a few things, and he kept telling me how quick of a learner I was, and he taught me a little bit about harmony and that sort of stuff, and which I already knew quite a bit. My family, they had picked and sang all my life. And I actually got my first gig with a band out of Southwest Virginia called The Lost and Found. And, man, I didn't know which up from down, honestly, about being a musician. So, you know, it wasn't very long before they, you know, kind of set me down and said, hey, you know, you got to try something else. You know, you got the ability here, but you got to put the work behind it. And I didn't appreciate at the time learning from them like I do now and what I learned. And it was shortly after I got a call from Bowie that he had said that actually he had left Larry Stevenson, and Larry had hired a guy named Marcus Smith from East Tennessee, and Marcus was leaving. And, you know, it just so happened that I could play a lot like Bowie, and I knew all the harmony parts because Bowie would continually give me some bootleg live copies of Larry's show. So when I auditioned, I already knew the material. And I had a great memory, which was very lucky for me. When you audition, you know, I'd always give that advice, you know your stuff before you go to audition. And I did, man. I nailed the audition, and he actually asked me to play that night. And I said, well, I said, man, I can't, you know, I don't think I'm quite ready for that. So that was in the early part of December, and I started with him full-time in January, New Year's Eve. And somewhere in the early 90s, 92, I want to say, somewhere in there. And I stayed with him about 3.5 years. And then I formed my own band for just a little while in the state of North Carolina, Virginia area. And I played with a girl named Gina Britt for a little while. And then in 2005, I got a nice break, or 2004, I got a break playing with Melanie Cannon. And me and some guys from the North Carolina, Virginia area would travel back and forth to Nashville, and we got a chance to play with her. That was really nice, which led to a fill-in spot with the Lonesome River Band. And I got a chance to fill in. They needed a fill-in guy, and I, you know, same type of deal. I knew all the material already, and I got on the bus, and we drove up to Pennsylvania, had two gigs that weekend, and we didn't rehearse one time. We got up and played two sets of music. It felt like I'd been there all my life. I knew all the older songs, and I knew my breaks, and I knew where I was supposed to play, and I knew what I was supposed to sing. And anyway, it just worked out good, and I got offered a job there, and I stayed there about 2 years. And after that, you know, I was pretty well into education, you know, and teaching. So having a full-time bluegrass gig and a full-time career was pretty tough, and coaching football. So I got off. I left the Lonesome River Band in 2007, and by 2008 I had hooked up with Lou Reed in Carolina. They had an opening, and it fit my schedule great, and you know, so it was just ideal because he only played about 20-25 gigs a year, and they were all good gigs, and got to record, and you know, got to do a lot of great things with him, and learned a lot from him, learned a lot from Sammy Shiloh, the Lonesome River Band, and learned a lot from Larry Stevenson and Alan Mills, all those guys. I learned a lot pretty much everywhere I've been. And then, you know, Heather and I got married in 2009 and moved to Alabama in 2010 and wanted a little more. You know, I put out a solo record in 2011 that did real well for us, and I wanted a little bit of control of my own schedule, so I made the decision to leave Lou and just focus on our band full time. That's where we've been.
And now you're going to play the Festival of Flowers in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, and we're excited about it. We're playing with really, you know, my favorite band in the business.
Well, tell us about your band, and also let's not leave Heather out.
Oh, no, 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 couldn't leave her out. We've got some great guys playing with us from Chattanooga, Tennessee. On the fiddle is John Bullware, and from Spring Garden, Alabama, Casey Murray is playing banjo with us, and then from up in around Tullahoma, Tennessee, Blake Bowen is playing acoustic bass with us. And, of course, you know, playing mandolin is my lovely wife, Heather, and really one of my favorite singers and phrasers that I've ever come across. And I'm not saying that just because she's my wife. If she wasn't my wife, she'd still be one of my favorite singers. She's just, I think she's has a great innate ability, really, to hear harmony, and does a really great job of phrasing her her lyrics just like a country singer would.
And
it's effortlessly.
Y'all are a great match together singing.
Sir?
I said y'all are a great match together singing, and also you and Heather are expecting a little one, right?
We are. We're expecting both of our first child in September, and we love to play and sing together, and she's a big traditional country fan, as am I, and that's kind of what sold us on each other. I think the fact that we had such a close kinship with the type of music that we like, and so that was wonderful. And we're real excited about having a baby. Goodness gracious, we don't know what to think. I don't. I mean, I'm 44, and I'm pretty excited about it, to say the least.
Well, that's good, man. It's better than being upset.
Oh yeah.
Too late for that, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. We made a decision. You know, we've had so much going on, Trey. Goodness, we've remodeled the house practically from the ground up, and both went back and got our graduate degrees in the last couple years. And this seemed like the natural progression of things, just to go ahead and start a family and then just kind of see what all develops in that deal. We're gonna still play, and we're gonna take her to festivals, and we want her to be just as much a part of it as we are.
Well, very good. And we're gonna probably at the top of the hour, when we are getting ready to go off the air, we're gonna play some pieces off of your CD. But why don't you plug your CD here a little bit and tell us about the title.
Most certainly. We got a brand new CD out called One More Road, and got a lot of original material on there. You know, being a songwriter yourself, how important that is. And for us, it's, the mainstay of really what we do. We've got 8 original songs that I either wrote or co-wrote, and then we've got, 4 or 5 from other writers, and then a couple of covers, but they're obscure covers. We don't like to do the old War Horses.
Well, the covers you got on here, I can tell you right now, my favorite track is number 11, Pass Me By, the old Johnny.
Oh, Pass Me By, yeah.
The old Johnny Rodriguez hit.
Heather's daddy brought that track to the band, and he didn't really bring it, per se, but he had sang that song, and when we would get together and jam a little bit, and just play, just she and I, around the house, we'd always get him to sing that song. And, Heather always said, I'd really like to do that song. And I was like, well, ain't nothing to it. We'll just do it, And she had always wanted to record a song and put steel guitar on it. And so I got in touch with Mike Johnson up in Nashville. He's a great, great player. And we, of course, with the advent of modern technology is great. We emailed him the track, and he played through it, sent us back. And our fiddle man does a great job on it as well. And it's one of our favorite songs on the record. And it's, it's just traditional country. I mean, it's, there's a steel, there's a fiddle. There's a mandolin chop, there's a rhythm guitar, and there's an acoustic bass. And that's the way, there are no drums or anything like that, and that's the way a lot of old country music was played.
That's right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
and that's, we always try to kind of give a nod, to the forefathers of this music, both country and bluegrass. We like the old stuff, yet we also try to embrace the new. So we're real tickled with the record. It's doing real well. We've had a one song off of it went gone as high as number 2 on the Bluegrass Today charts, and we've released a new single, which is "If I Were a Carpenter," the old Johnny Cash, June Carter Cash song. Tim Hardin wrote it probably back in the 60s. Bobby Darin recorded it. It's been recorded pop and country, so we decided to record a bluegrass. And
well, you couldn't have a more appropriate song since y'all are having a baby here.
It is a very appropriate. It's very funny how this song has turned out to be, you know, a microcosm, really, of our life. You know, if I were a carpenter and you were a lady, well, I have worked on a house more in the last year than I've ever worked on a house in my life, even though my dad was had his own construction company. But I've learned how to tile. I've learned how to put down subfloor, and I've learned how to put down hardwoods. I've learned how to, the list could go on and on. So I have been a carpenter in the last year, and she's, you know, getting ready to have my baby. I guess that's our baby, you know. So that's kind of neat. I sit down and talk to her every now and then, and she always responds. Her name's Ray Carroll, and I'll say, "Hey, Ray," you know, and she'll just kick and raise cane. It's pretty funny.
Oh, you're talking about the baby. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not Heather, no. She kicks and raises cane just when I do anything.
That's really funny.
That's really great. Well, listen, we did want to play "If I Were a Carpenter," and now that we know even the behind story, it makes it even sweeter here this afternoon. So we'll sure look forward to seeing you right here in Greenwood on Saturday. And, in fact, Trey brought me a couple of CDs that we'll give away Friday afternoon on our Giveaway Friday show. So we'll get some listeners out there for you.
Well, great. That sounds great. We're really looking forward to being there. And many thanks to Trey for having us and putting it together there. And we're excited to be a part of it. I think I read somewhere where it's 46th year, and it's rated one of South Carolina's top 20 events. So we're tickled to be there.
Well, we'll look forward to meeting you. Anything else you want to say, Trey?
No, y'all dress for hot weather, and we'll see you on Saturday.
We'll do it, man. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Shannon Sauter of, and we're going to hear a cut from their new CD, One More Road. Yes, it's the number one, and now that we know the backstory here, they're having a baby. If I Were a Carpenter, let's play it there for him, Andy, right now, right here on WCRS. Then we'll come back. We got to ask some questions about what's been going on with Trey. So don't you go away. We're right here on WCRS.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. I would have your baby. I'd marry you anyway. I would have your baby.
Save my love through loneliness. Save my love through sorrow.
Give me your tomorrow.
If I were a miller at a mill well grinding, would you miss your pretty dress and your soft shoes shining?
If you were a miller at a mill well grinding, I wouldn't miss my pretty dress or my soft shoes shining. I wouldn't miss my pretty dress or my soft shoes shining.
Save my love through loneliness. Save my love through sorrow.
Gave you my loneliness.
Give me your tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. If a tinker were my trade, could I still find you?
Yeah, I'd be carrying the pot you made.
Give me your tomorrow.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Looks like the rain went through here pretty darn quick because the sun is out right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Well, Trey, you always bring interesting concerts right here to Greenwood. I tell you what, this sounds like another winner right here. You've had some big names here, and you've had some well-known names, and it looks like you've got two more coming our way this Saturday.
I hope so. I hope we have good attendance. You guys spread the word because... you know, if I put on a big show like this for free and nobody comes, they'll probably run me out of town.
Well, no, people are going to come, Trey. I mean, you know, and a lot of people come. What a lot of people here in Greenwood don't realize that a lot of people come from outside the area to this.
Well, surprisingly, most people do come
right.
from outside of Greenwood.
So what we really need is more local people to come to this event
we
and
do.
experience bluegrass music. I mean, I think a lot of people just go, oh, it's bluegrass, and they don't even... listen to really good bluegrass, and this is what you're bringing here.
I think that's true. I mean, you know, about every 10 years, a bluegrass song will make it to commercial radio, and it'll just go gangbusters, you know, like Oh Brother, We're Out Now. And right now, Darius Rucker's got Wagon Wheel, which was a Bob Dylan song that's been done. Some people say it's more folk music, but it's been done by bluegrass bands for years, and you know, now it's made it to the big-time radio, and, you know, it's the number one song. I mean, so... I mean, before that, you know, there was Rocky Top and Fox on the Run. And I mean, that once in a while, you know, the gatekeepers will let one of those songs get on the radio, and, you know, everybody loves it. So I think if people had an opportunity to hear it, they would be, there would be more bluegrass fans.
Sure.
You know, lots of people have the, what I call the, have the hee-haw goggles on, and, you know, they think it's all about, you know, stupid hillbillies and hay bales and overalls and stuff, and certainly, some of us may wear overalls, but, I mean, I kind of feel like bluegrass musicians can hold their own with anybody, anywhere.
Well, I mean, the difficulty of playing the music is tremendous. It's not easy to play it at the pace and the individual notes and everything.
I think there's a very high technical, it takes a high technical ability to play bluegrass, and the great thing about bluegrass musicians is they don't hide behind any distortion or racks of amplifiers or anything like that. There's nothing but a microphone usually when a bluegrass musician steps up to it to hide behind. And and there's nowhere to go.
Can't hide there, folks.
You either play well or you don't. And bluegrass records don't auto-tune. You know, I don't think people understand it, how modern country music, how every note they sing is tuned now. It comes out perfect. There's nothing real or realistic about
it.
Well,
that's why I like playing the old classic country that we play on Saturday
that's
morning.
Right. Most
know?
Of that stuff was they turned on the machine and everybody played it once and there was no overdubbing, and if you messed up, you had to do it again.
Right. And
you know, I think there's an old story about, I think maybe it was Buddy Killen that played bass on George Jones's White Lightning, which was the number one song for George Jones in maybe 1956 or 57, and they cut it 88 times before they got
that
it
whole
right.
Thing.
Because George Jones was drunk during the session, and
that made it easier for George.
they didn't have the ability to do what they do now, so they recorded that song 88 times before they got a cut.
Yeah. There was one song that took him a year to record with George because he was dry. I can't remember the song. I did it in a special that I did honoring him. But speaking the words, where he spoke some words in a song. And it took him a year to get him sober enough or straight enough that he could say the words. I can't remember the song right off. It just went out of my head. But wow. I remember reading that.
The only thing I think of off the top of my head where he actually talked was this, but he stopped loving her today.
Yes, that was it, yes.
But I didn't know about that.
It took him a year. I read that. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood, and because they had to follow him around and find a moment where he was sober where he could speak the words. Stuff like that doesn't happen today, though.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's still lots of substance abuse in the music.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant about having a problem getting something recorded.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, everything's digital and you just do anything. I mean, you can sing an F and they can make it a G.
There's hope for me yet, Trey. Hey, we're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Trey, thanks so much for coming out today. We are going to get a quick call in from you on Friday morning and want everybody to make sure you put that on the calendar, 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. Now, they will be selling CDs there, and you're going to have some other vendors there too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, there'll be barbecue. Barbecue
and bluegrass. What a combo.
Yeah, they always go together. And, of course, all the bands will be vending T-shirts and CDs so you can take a little bit of music home with you. And we really hope you'll come Saturday, June 22nd.
That's this Saturday.
Dress for hot weather. It's rain or shine. And please come see us.
Absolutely.
And enjoy some great music.
All right. We're going to do it. We're going to be talking about it. Hey, that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget, Friday afternoon, I have two CDs. For Shannon and Heather Slaughter, what's the name of that CD?
One More Road.
One More Road, that's what I thought. So we'll be giving those away Friday afternoon. This is me, Ann Eller. Be back tomorrow morning. Who do we have tomorrow morning? Oh, my goodness, we have quite a lineup for tomorrow. Congressman Jeff Duncan, 9:05, 9:35. Who are we talking to? Capitol Hill, that's right, one of the authors of that book. And at 4 o'clock on tomorrow afternoon, we'll be talking to Secretary of State Mark Hammond. So make sure you stay tuned right here on WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for coming out today, Trey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.